Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 is where we will find our text tonight, and also the title of our message, When It Is Time to Go. For we read in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. We know that it was time for Moses to go. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. So now it was time for Joshua to go. To go and lead Israel into the land of promise. Thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. The first word that the Lord said to Joshua, first words that came to Joshua from the Lord, Moses, my servant, is dead. Verse 2. Now, it was a very brief statement, a very bold statement about the passing of Israel's great leader. Moses, my servant, is dead. Indeed, what King David said regarding the death of Abner could surely be said about Moses. Know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? 2 Samuel 3, verse 38. Moses certainly was a prince and a great man. And when he died, the children of Israel felt his loss. Because we can read about and we're told about the mourning over Moses. For upon hearing about the death of Moses, the children of Israel went into days of mourning as they mourned his loss. If you look there in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab. 30 days. So there was 30 days of mourning. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. That is, ended after 30 days. We know that there is always great mourning when God calls someone away. But this is especially true when their loss is so great. But such mourning over Moses, surely an indication that Moses, the great leader of Israel, was sorely missed by the children of Israel. We know that when someone who has faithfully served the Lord and taken their stand for the Lord over the years, when the Lord is pleased to take them home, when it is time for them to go, those that are left behind, they sorely miss that servant of the Lord. So it was with Moses. So we have the mourning over Moses. And then we see the missing Moses. Moses was missed in another way, in another sense. Moses was missed, as we read in chapter 34 and verse 6 of Deuteronomy. We might read verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. It was time for him to go. And he buried him. Mark the words. He buried him. That is, the Lord buried him. And the Lord buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. So there wasn't many at the funeral of Moses, because the Lord buried him. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died according to the word of the Lord, and the Lord buried him. What a tremendous honor this was, to have Jehovah himself attend to the matter of the burial of Moses, his servant. Yes, Moses was missed by the children of Israel, and he's still missed today, because no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And with regard to the Lord's work, when it is time for us to go, how much will we be missed? How badly will the Lord's work miss our going? That brings us to look back to the message about Moses. The message from the Lord was, Moses, my servant, is dead. The end of Moses' service on earth marked the beginning of Joshua's service as Israel's leader. It was time for Moses to go to the promised land, to heaven. And it was also time for Joshua to go to the land of promise and to lead Israel into Canaan. And here we see that God's workmen will die, but God's work will go on. God's work will go on. As the Savior said, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Moses labored, and Joshua was entered in to his labors. John 4, verse 38. It was time for Joshua to enter into another man's labors. It was then, after the death of Moses, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. So Joshua received a word from the Lord. You notice, it was a word of command to Joshua. First word that Joshua received from the Lord was one of command. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. It was a word of command. The word of command. Now therefore arise and go. Notice the time. The time. What the Lord said, now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. You see, the 30 days of mourning over Moses had now come to an end. And it was now time. It was now time for Joshua to go and begin his leadership and the leading of Israel into the land of promise. And the Lord wanted Joshua to go now. That's what he said. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. When the Lord gives us a command, he demands that we act upon it immediately. He demands that we act upon it now. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people. Thou must go. And God said, thou must go now. Is there any command that you have been given by the Lord, but you have yet to act upon it? God demanded that Joshua act upon the command that the Lord gave him. Go now. Sometimes the Lord gives us commands that we do not act upon. At the time when the Lord spoke to your heart about carrying out some duty, you said you would do it. But that command still sits unfulfilled. But it is not too late. It is not too late to carry out that command, to do that will that God has revealed unto you. For we read in Matthew 21, there in Matthew 21 and verse 28, what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go. Work today in my vineyard. There's the command. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. Afterward he did go. It wasn't too late. And when God tells us to go and God gives us a command, he wants us to act upon it immediately. He says, go now. But if we don't, it's not too late. But then we read in verse 30, and he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. How many are like the second son? They tell the Lord, yes, Lord, I will do it. Yes, Lord, I will go. Yes, Lord, I will obey your command. But they don't. And that command has not yet been obeyed. But the Lord said unto Joshua, now, therefore, arise and go. Notice the Lord told Joshua, now arise, go over this Jordan. It is time to go, Joshua. Joshua was to arrive. He was to bestir himself. Arise and go. Joshua was not to be sitting on his knees. He needed to be active for the Lord. He needed to arise and go. As the Lord said to David once. 2 Samuel 5, verse 24. And let it be, when thou hearest a sound of a going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt bestir thyself. Thou shalt arise. Thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shalt the Lord go out before thee. The Lord had been, the face of the Lord had been sought by David, wanted to know when he would go against the enemy. And the Lord said, when there's a going in the top of the mulberry trees, that then you're to bestir yourself. You're to get ready to go because the Lord will go out before you. If he wanted the favor of God in the battle against the Philistines, then he must go immediately. Thus, if we want to have the favor and blessing of God, then when the Lord commands us to do something, we ought to do it immediately. He wants us to go. When it is time to go. Just as Joshua did. And he readily obeyed. We have in the verse 2. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. Look at verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host. Command the people, say, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go. See, he didn't waste any time. When the Lord had finished speaking to him, then, it says, then, verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, it's time to go. No hesitation on the part of Joshua. No argument. No dilly-dallying, no waiting. When the Lord said, go, Joshua went. Time to go. You have the time and then you have the task. The Lord commanded Joshua, saying, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. That was quite a task. Quite a task and quite a test of Joshua's faith in light of what we read in Joshua 3 and verse 15. For there in verse 15 we read, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It may have appeared in the eyes of Joshua and others easier to cross over Jordan when the water was low, in the dry season. But here God calls upon Joshua to arise and go over Jordan at a time when Jordan overflowed his banks. That was a test of faith. As well as there not being any bridge over Jordan or any pontoons, the banks of Jordan were overflowing. And yet God told Joshua, I want you to go. That was a test of his faith. After all, Joshua had seen what God did at the Red Sea. He had already seen how God divided the waters of the Red Sea, and the Red Sea was a far vaster expanse of water than Jordan. And so when he remembered what God did at the Red Sea, Joshua no doubt believed with all of his heart, well, the Lord will do the same at Jordan. If the Red Sea was no problem to the God of Israel, then Jordan will be no problem either. We can learn from this. When we are faced with our Jordans in life and we wonder how we're going to get through, let us remember our Red Seas. Let us remember the times in the past when the Lord brought us through. And we can go forward knowing that the Jordans that face us in life, God is able to bring us through. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right, I know the Lord make a way for me. And Joshua knew it too. Joshua knew that the Lord would make a way for him. Let's read in Isaiah 43 verse 16. Thus saith the Lord which maketh a way. Thus saith the Lord which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. That's a great word, that, isn't it? That's a great promise, that. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. God made a way in the sea, the Red Sea. And God made a path in the mighty waters of Jordan. That's exactly what the Lord did for Joshua and the children of Israel. So we have the time. We have the task. We also have the triumph. the triumph, even though the Lord was simply giving his instructions and his commands to Joshua, yet the Lord already spoke to Joshua about the triumph. Look at verse 2 again of Joshua 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. This land which I do give to them. Here's the promise. The Lord is saying, this is the land I promise. I will give to them. But look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. In other words, the Lord was saying to Joshua, the land's already yours. I have already given it to you. It wouldn't be a case of Joshua going forward and leading the children of Israel and wondering would they be able to defeat the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites. Wondering would they be able to conquer all the cities. No. The Lord promised the victory. The Lord told them, go over this Jordan into the land that I have given. The victory was already his. The Lord speaks to Joshua as though the land had already been taken and the Canaanites had already been conquered. The Lord was not sending his servant on a mission that would lead to defeat. Instead, Joshua would go forth assured, that he was on the winning side. Believer, we are on the winning side. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, whatever the Lord commands us to do, whenever the Lord says to us, I want you to go, and do whatever he commands us, you can be sure the Lord will give the victory. He'll not tell us to do something that's going to end in defeat. He's not going to ask us to do something that we're going to end up in disgrace. Not at all. The Lord gives the victory. And we can be assured of the victory even before we start out and do whatever He's commanded us to do. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. This was something that the disciples missed. The disciples missed. I believe they didn't really hear what the Lord said. If they heard it, they didn't take it to heart. Mark chapter 4. Verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. That's what the Lord said. Let us pass over unto the other side. The Lord said they would get to the other side. That's what He just told them. Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. We know what happened. A great storm arose. And they came and they awoke the Lord. In verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They hadn't heard what the Lord said. The Lord said that they would reach the other side. Let us go on to the other side. He told them that. He told them it would be on the other side. But the storm arose and they thought they were going to perish. Thought they weren't going to reach the other side. We know how the Lord stood up and rebuked the wind and said, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The point is, what the Lord said, He would bring it to pass. And He brought it to pass. It didn't matter what obstacle, as it were, lay in the way. There was a storm that arose on their journey to the other side. They thought they weren't going to reach the other side, but the Lord told them they would reach the other side. And the Lord told Joshua, go over Jordan. It's time for you to go. And I have given the land to you. The land's already yours. Zacchaeus, believer of us, always taking the Lord at his word. And listening to what the Lord says. If the disciples had truly listened to what the Lord said about going over to the other side, they wouldn't have fretted. They wouldn't have been fearful. They wouldn't have been afraid of perishing. They would have been able to say one to the other, well, the Lord said we're going to get to the other side, so we're going to get there. Whatever the Lord tells us to do, he'll give us the victory. Whatever obstacle may lie in our way, he'll give the victory, as he promised the victory to Joshua. So it was a word of command for Joshua. Next we see it was a word that challenged Joshua. It would be quite a challenge for Joshua to lead Israel into the land of promise. But before he took his first step in that direction, God had a challenging word for him. Notice the order given by God. The order was very clear and indeed was repeated by God. Verse 6, here's the order. Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 18, the end of the verse, only be strong and of a good courage. And the Lord gave the same order to him before. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 14 and 23. Now, when I looked up the number of times that God gave this order, because that's what it is, it's an order. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and very courageous. That's an order. I noted that God gave that order to Joshua 5 times. Now, Moses said the same words to Joshua a number of times as well. But God spoke to Joshua and said these words to Joshua 5 times. Now you think of it. It's an order. Be strong. Joshua, you be strong. Joshua, you be very courageous. Now, that's all right, somebody's saying that to us. But when we're facing some difficulty or some problem, it's all right, somebody's saying, be strong and be very courageous. But how can we be strong and courageous? Well, as far as Joshua was concerned, as far as we are concerned, when God says unto us, as he did unto Joshua, be strong and very courageous, or be of a good courage, and he said it 5 times, 5 is the number of grace, how may we be strong and very courageous by the grace of God? God, by his grace, would enable Joshua to be strong and to be very courageous. Once again, God was not calling upon Joshua to do something and leave him to do it on his own. The Lord told him to go over this Jordan, and in going over, he said, be strong and very courageous. And God would give him the strength, and God would give him the courage by his grace. Recall Paul, when he had the thorn in the flesh, and he sought the Lord about it. And the Lord said, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, my grace is sufficient. Paul, that's all you need. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And how would God make his strength perfect in the life of Paul? He would do it by his grace, for he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. It's all you need is my grace. And Joshua, going over Jordan, all you need is my grace. I'll give you the strength and I'll give you the courage by my grace. In God's grace, there's an abundance of strength. In God's grace, there's an abundance of courage to bring us through and to bring Joshua through. Because when the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, he used the same word that the disciples used in John 6 and verse 7 when it came to the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples told the Lord the loaves and the fishes they had was not sufficient, same word, not sufficient even to give the multitude a little. They're saying there's not enough food. Well, praise God. When we talk about grace, there's always enough grace. My grace is sufficient. The Lord was telling Paul, my grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Whenever you're weak, by my grace, I'll strengthen you. When you're afraid, by my grace, I'll give you the courage. It's all right, Joshua. It's time to go. Be strong and be of a good courage. My grace will see you through. So you have the order that was given by God. You have the observance that's demanded by God. Joshua was ordered, be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And so Joshua needed the strength and he needed the grace to carry out the orders that had been given to him by Moses and was now being given to him by God. He needed the grace, he needed the strength, he needed the courage to carry them out. Notice Joshua was not only expected to observe, for the Lord told him to observe. Take note of what Moses had commanded him. He was told to observe and to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Verse 7. Observe and do. It's one thing to observe. It's another thing to do. We can observe the laws of God. We can observe His Word. It's another thing to do what we have just observed. It's another thing to do what we have just read or studied or seen. We can look in the mirror of God's Word and walk away and not do anything in response to what we have read or what we have looked at. We are to observe and we are to do. That's what God expected of Joshua. Observe and to do. In Deuteronomy 31, we see what Moses commanded Joshua to do. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit. Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go." He was to observe, to do all the law. He was told he was not to turn. Verse 7 of Joshua 1, "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." There was to be no deviating from the law of God given to him by Moses. And repeat it here. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. He was not to involve himself in something that was not commanded by the Lord for him to do. He was not to be distracted. He was not to deviate. He was to observe and he was to do. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Keep looking forward on the road that I have marked out for you. And that's exactly what Joshua did. Joshua chapter 11 and verse 15. "As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua." And so did Joshua. So he not only observed, he did do. "And so did Joshua. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." He left nothing undone. It's quite a testimony. Maybe there are things in our lives already that we have left undone. The Lord Jesus, when he came into the world, he came to do his Father's will. And he was able to say, "I have finished the work that my Father has given me to do." He didn't leave anything undone. He finished the work. Joshua finished the work. And remember, Joshua was a type of Christ. They bear the same name. Like the Christian life, there must not be any turning to the right or to the left. There must be a plowing of a straight furrow. And in the days when farmers plowed the fields with their horses, walk behind the plow. How did they get a straight furrow? They fixed their eyes on a point at the other end of the field. And they aimed for that point. That meant they're able to plow a straight furrow. Had they turned to the right or to the left? Well, you can imagine what the furrows would have looked like. We do the same. We keep our eyes on Christ. We ever focus on Him. And we focus on Him, not turning to the right or to the left. We will plow a straight furrow. We will walk the narrow road. Isn't that what people say about us? Oh, you're too narrow-minded. Oh, how do you enjoy yourself? You don't drink. You don't go to clubs. You don't gamble. You don't do the lottery. How do you enjoy yourself? Oh, you're too narrow-minded. That what they say. Well, the Lord has told us that's where we should be. Because in Matthew 7, in Matthew 7, in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, the straight gate, the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. That's all right. You want to say we're too narrow-minded, that's all right. That's the way you want it. We'll keep in the narrow way. Because narrow is the gate. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. The Lord then informed Joshua something else that he was to observe. He was to observe the oracles mentioned by God. Joshua was to observe and do all that which Moses commanded him, as well as what God commanded him. Verse 8, the Lord said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That was a good word for Joshua, as he was about to embark upon a mammoth task of leading Israel into the land of promise, over Jordan and into Canaan, and to conquer the land and to divide the land. That was a mammoth task. Before he started out, the Lord had a word for him. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe. There's it again. Observe to do. The Lord said to Joshua, I want you to live by the book. I want you to live by my word. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. First of all, the Lord speaks here to Joshua about his language and the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So his language was to be filled with the word. When he's giving orders to the children of Israel, his language is to be filled with the word of God, the oracles of God. So you have his language and the word. The Lord spoke to him also about his love for the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, if you meditate in the word day and night, does that not indicate you have a love for the word? You meditate in the Word day and night. You have a love for the Word. Blessed is that man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. When we meditate in the Word, it'll be an indication we love the Word. You take the word meditate. Meditate. The word meditate there means to study or to talk. So you can put the whole meaning together. You can meditate on the Word. What will that lead to? It'll lead to the study of the Word. What will that lead to? It'll lead to you talking about the Word. Meditate, study, and talk. All to do with the Word. The language and the Word, his love for the Word, and the Lord told him to live by the Word. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. That thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. In other words, the Lord says, I want you, Joshua, to live by the book. To live by the Word. Observe and do. What you observe of my word, the holy articles of heaven, what you read, what you hear, what you're taught, I want you to observe them and I want you to do them. I want you to put them into practice. I want you, Joshua, to live by the word. But then it's not only Joshua. The Lord wants to live by the word. He wants us to live by the word as well. He wants us to live by the Word. Live by the book. And what did the Lord say? Then, when your language is filled with the Word, when you have a love for the Word, when you live by the Word, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. That is so like the blessed man of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, not turning to the right or to the left. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See? Don't turn to the right or to the left. Live by the word. Love the word. Talk about the word. Meditate in the word. And whatsoever thou doest shall prosper. Your soul will prosper. You'll prosper in spiritual things, and the Lord may be pleased to cause us to prosper in other things. But primarily, he wants us to prosper in spiritual things. And as we read in Psalm 119 and verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. May that be our testimony. Very quickly, you have the comforting word for Joshua. Comforting word. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. That was a comfort. After all, he's going to face the Canaanites. Here you have the Lord's prediction. The Lord predicted, thou shall not any man be able to stand before thee. And that included the giants of Anak. that put fear into the false spies. Remember what they said? Oh, we'll never be able to take it. There's giants in the land. And they brought back a false report. Well, here the Lord told Joshua, there shall not any man. Giants are no giants. There shall not any man be able to stand before you. And in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 1, Moses told the children of Israel that the men of Cana were greater and mightier than they. But that didn't matter. God said, there shall not a man be able to stand before you. All the days of thy life. All the days of thy life. So Joshua and the children of Israel may be outnumbered. They may face the giants of Anak. It would come against them. But the Lord says they'll not be able to stand. Because the Lord already promised the victory. What a comforting word this was for Joshua. You shall not fear them. For the Lord your God, he shall fight for you. Deuteronomy 3 and verse 22. Psalm 91 verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but they shall not come nigh thee. See, when you're on the Lord's side, you're on the side of victory. And when you have the Lord on your side, you're in the majority. There was the prediction, and there was the presence. Verse 5, Joshua 1, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And again in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Great word, isn't it? Whithersoever thou goest. Of course, the Lord is Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Someone's facing surgery. There's a good word to give them. There's a good word. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. God will give you the grace to be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Joshua would soon come to Jordan. And Jordan, in our language today, is a picture of death. We can say then, when I come to the river at the ending of day, when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Jesus died my sins to atone. In the darkness I see, he'll be waiting for me. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Joshua wouldn't have to cross Jordan alone. It's time to go. And the Lord says, I'll go with you. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our Father and our God, we do rejoice that thou will always go with us. Thy Lord will not go with us down the road of sin. But O Lord, when we obey thy word and obey thy command, and observe to do all that thou hast commanded us, we know, Lord, that thou will go with us. We will be assured of the presence of Emmanuel. Lord, write thy precious word in our hearts. May we take encouragement from it, knowing that the Lord will lead us over our Jordans, because he has brought us through our Red Seas. Bless our church family and those that are not too well. And be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.